Again, I want to thank you for being here. It's great to look across the number of folks here and see our facility full and all of you here in attendance. I hope that many of you enjoyed a very good spring break. Some of you were able to take a little bit of a vacation and go out of town, and I hope that you had a great time. We missed you last week and are certainly glad to have you back with us today for our service. Daniel chapter 3, 22. The thought for our lesson this morning is collateral damage. And I want us to think about that today as we consider the reading from Brother Herschel a few moments ago. Often we don't appreciate the impact our sin may have on others associated with us. And of course, our opening text demonstrates this concept effectively for us. Now, what do we find out there in that text? Well, first of all, before we go into it specifically, I want us to define what collateral damage is. And so, as you think about that in your mind, maybe you have an idea of collateral damage, but it's what takes place as a result of the impact of the injury involved in something that was intended, but the target or some of the people that were targeted, they weren't intended to be the target. This is something that happened as a result of injury being inflicted upon someone. Now, let me give you an example of this, because if you'll think back to when we had declared war on Iraq, we were talking about going in and taking our Air Force and bombing some of the territory there in Baghdad. And there was a conversation that a couple of people had on one of the news programs in the evening. They were talking about how that the United States was planning to attack, and they attacked during the course of the night. And probably one of the reasons for that is because they didn't want there to be a lot of civilian casualties. They tried to pick a time when the fewest number of individuals working at that place would be there. Well, why? Well, because they didn't want to see those people die. And they picked a time when the cleaning crew was going to come in. Now, it was sad for them. We weren't targeting the cleaning crew from a certain facility, but we were targeting that facility. And they became the collateral damage of that mission. Those individuals died. Well, I think about the collateral damage that we see here in Daniel chapter 3, verse 22. And maybe you've never thought about the collateral damage of what took place here in this passage of Scripture. You've looked at this passage of Scripture before. You've thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But what I want us to think about is I want to think about the three men that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into that fire. I want us to think about the collateral damage that came as a result of the anger of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, when you think about Nebuchadnezzar and you think about the anger that he felt toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it says that he was full of fury, and the expression on his face, what? It changed. Now, how many of us have ever been so mad in our life that the expression on our face changed and the people around us knew that we were angry? Maybe you've had that happen to you. I know I have. The expression of your face changed. People knew you were angry. Well, to go beyond that, Nebuchadnezzar, in order to demonstrate how angry he was and how full of fury he was, he decided he was going to heat that furnace 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated before. So we're going to heat this thing. I want you guys to know that I'm angry with you. You are going to feel the pain and the suffering of this furnace because you have not listened to me and you've dishonored me. So we find where that his anger was kindled against them. But what happened? The king's anger resulted in the death of 3 men, but not the 3 he intended. He intended that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego die as a result of the flames of this furnace. But the men that threw them in were the ones that suffered the consequences for that. They were the collateral damage. Now, you think about that for a moment. What did these guys do? Now, I understand that they must have been among those that bowed down to the idol, and that wasn't right. But really, what did they do wrong? All they did was carry out the order that the king gave. That's their job. That's their responsibility. We're told to do what? To honor the king, aren't we? We're told to respect the king. If it was their God and they truly believed in this God, then they must have felt like these men really did dishonor our king and really did dishonor our God. And so because of the laws of our land, they deserve this punishment. So what did they do wrong? They took the men there to the fire at the request of the king and they threw them in. And they lost their life. They were the collateral damage because of the anger and the sin of the king. And that's what I want us to think about today. I want us to think about the collateral damage that's caused at times because of sin in our life. And I want us to think about this through some of the examples we find in the Scriptures where this has happened. And then hopefully we will make an application at the end of each of the slides to kind of bring this home for all of us, to help this to sink in for us, the collateral damage that's created by sin. Well, the first thing that we want to look at today is the collateral damage created by greed and worldliness. In Joshua chapter 7, verses 20 and 21, Dalton read this passage of Scripture before Bible class this morning for us, and I appreciate that very much. Here we find where the children of Israel have conquered Jericho, and they're living high on the hog. They are excited. I mean, you talk about the level of excitement is at an all-time high with these people. We have gone into this land. We have conquered this major city. Of course, God was there to help them. And so, boy, you just think about how they were feeling at that time. There was a lot of exuberance, I'm sure, in the camp of the children of Israel. Now they go out and they fight against Ai, and they don't think very much about Ai. In fact, they've decided that it would be a waste of time to send the entire army down there because this is such a small village. And since we had such great success against this more fortified city, we probably don't need to take quite as many. So they send a few down there. And of course, you know what happened. They get a whooping. A whooping. Now, maybe you've had a whooping before. There's a difference between a spanking and a whooping. These guys got a whooping. And they were upset about it. Joshua was upset about it. And he cries to God and he's disappointed. And God says, well, why have you brought us into this land if you're just going to allow the people to defeat us? And God said, listen, here's the problem. There is some sin in your camp and you've got to get rid of this sin. And so you find that Joshua and the elders of the people, they begin to question all the folks. And they find out that a man named Achan has committed a sin. Now here is Achan's sin. Achan saw some Babylonish garment, he saw 200 shekels of silver, and he saw a wedge of gold that they had gotten as a result of conquering Jericho. And it says that he coveted those things. He wanted them. You think about what he did. Now the problem with that is God had told them, when you finish conquering Jericho, all the spoil of that city is going to me. Now, after you see them conquer Ai, what does God do? God lets them keep everything that they conquer from Ai. Now, what is that supposed to teach them? It's supposed to teach them that God comes first. You give to God first, and then He will bless you and He will take care of you. But Achan got this out of order. And he got greedy. And he got worldly. So here in Joshua 7, 20 and 21, he wanted possessions. He wanted possessions. Now, once they discovered that he had hid this in his tent, and he admitted it and confessed his sin, they put Achan to death. Isn't that what the Scriptures tell us? They did. But that's what? That ain't it. What happened? They said, Achan, I want you to come here. I want you to bring your sons and your daughters and all of your things and your oxen and your cattle. And they took those. And they stoned them in a pit and they burned everything that belonged to Achan. Well, wait a second. What did his kids do? They were the collateral damage for his greed and worldliness. He wanted the possessions. He coveted it. And he affected his entire family's future. Because of it. Because of his sin. Well, I think about another passage. I think about Daniel chapter 6. And you think about those men that we studied about that they resented the fact that Daniel was about to be promoted to the highest position of authority under the king. And so they had these evil intentions, and they convinced the king to make this decree so that everyone had to bow down only to the king and pray to him, make their petitions to him for 30 days. Of course, Daniel didn't do that. He prayed to God. Now, what these men want? These men wanted power. They wanted power. So we've got greed and we've got worldliness that exists here. Well, once Daniel was rescued by God from the lion, God closed their mouth. When Darius came to the cave or came to the den and hollered out, "Daniel, has your God saved you?" And Daniel said, "Oh, king, live forever." Then Daniel was brought out of that den, and guess what happened? Those men were brought and thrown into that pit of lions. Is that right? That's almost right. That's not completely right. Guess what happened? Those men and all of their families were thrown into the den of lions. And it says in the Scriptures, before their bodies hit the ground, the lions had torn them apart. Well, what did those kids do? Well, I don't have anything to do with Dad's politics. That's Dad's arena. I wasn't there. I didn't tell them to make that decree. I wasn't the one pushing for that particular bill to be put into legislation. What did I have to do with that? Those men and all their families died. They were the collateral damage for the greed and the worldliness of those men. Now, let's ask ourselves a question. Why are my kids and those around me so consumed with the things of this world? Why, in our society, does it seem like our generation and the generation that's coming up seems so entitled? Why is it that we've got to have all of the things that the world offers and we covet those things so much, and there's such an imbalance of importance put upon the things of this world and the greed and the worldliness of this? Why? Reckon that may be the collateral damage of our decisions and what we value and what they see us value and place as important in our life. Is that the damage? Well, what about the collateral damage created by inappropriate relationships? Inappropriate relationships. We've seen some of this happen in the Scripture before. What about Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 5? Now, people are going to dispute what this means, but basically what it says is in Genesis chapter 1 through 5, or Genesis chapter 6, 1 through 5, boy, things were not very good on the earth. And that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they began to marry those daughters of men. Now, many people are going to translate that, say those that were righteous saw those that were wicked, and they began to marry them. That may be appropriate. Some say that the descendants of Seth saw the descendants of Cain and saw that those women were beautiful and they married those. Whatever happened, they were inappropriate relationships because it drove men away from God. The sons of God married the daughters of men. And when the sons of God married the daughters of men pulled the sons of God away from God, to the point that when you get to Genesis 6 and you deal with Noah, you're going to find that all flesh was corrupted. And everyone did evil in his heart. There was no good. Only Noah found favor or grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's it. Everybody else was sinful. Only Noah was upright. Now, Noah was a sinful man, true. But he wasn't the sinful man and the sinful people that these others were. He found grace in the eyes of God because he was blameless and upright in his generation. Inappropriate relationships pulled those sons of God away from their Creator. What about Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 2? In this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to clean the language up for you today, I'm going to temper it. Basically what it says, when a child is born, of an inappropriate relationship, that child is not allowed to enter the tabernacle or the temple or the house of God for 10 generations. For 10 generations. That was God's law. Well, now what did that kid 3 generations down have to do with that? It's a collateral damage because of the inappropriate relationship. And they suffered. For 10 generations, they suffered because of the inappropriate relationship. 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us that bad company corrupts good morals. There is damage if you spend your time in the company of bad people. It will eventually affect you, and it will affect others around you. I think about Sodom and Gomorrah. Ask the children of Sodom and Gomorrah about the collateral damage as a result of inappropriate relationships. What about Solomon? Ask Solomon about his problem with inappropriate relationships in 1 Kings chapter 11, 1 through 10. Let's look at that passage of Scripture together. I just want to read just a few verses. We won't read all 10 of the verses, but just a few of the verses here. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. Clung to them in love. You think about that problem. You think about the inappropriate relationship. You might say, well, why are our children choosing to be involved in inappropriate relationships? Why are our children and those around us being influenced to engage in situations that they should not? Maybe it's because they have seen it too much. Maybe it's because we've allowed them to see it too much. Maybe the collateral damage of inappropriate relationships. That's what they see all the time. When you look out into the world, they can see a whole host of inappropriate relationships. And I'm not talking about all of the sinful things that we can enumerate right here, but I'm thinking about how many marriages do we know that are unscriptural that everybody else thinks is just fine? How many of them do we know that are unscriptural? Everybody just says, well, we're not concerned about what the Word of God says about that. We're not talking about inappropriate relationship before marriage only, or we're not talking about inappropriate relationship between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. We're talking about the inappropriate relationships as defined by God in His Word. But we've allowed those things to just plague us. That's what they see. Well, they're doing that, so why is that such a big deal? There's collateral damage as a result of getting away from God's Word and being engaged in an inappropriate relationship. Well, finally, what about the collateral damage created by a lack of knowledge? I think about Judges chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. After Joshua passed away and the generation that came with Joshua into the land of Canaan, it says that another generation of people grew up that did not know the Lord, and they turned from following God and turned and served the Baals that were there in the land. Lack of knowledge. They grew up and they didn't know God. Why did they not know God? Somebody dropped the ball. Somebody didn't teach them about God and remind them of His power and remind them of what He did for those people when He brought them out of Egypt. They forgot about God. There was a lack of knowledge. I think about that when you think about 2 Chronicles chapter 13, and Brother Herschel dealt with this on Wednesday night when he talked about Uzzah and the ark and David. Well, why was it that Uzzah died? It was because there was a lack of knowledge in transporting the Ark of the Covenant. Now, who's responsible for that? Well, David's the one that told him to bring the ark to Jerusalem. He's the one that said, bring the ark. He should have researched how it's supposed to have been transported, but because he didn't research it, he didn't have a knowledge of it, he didn't learn from God's Word, he didn't share that information with Uzzah, Uzzah lost his life because he tried to study the ark. A lack of knowledge. They had been told how to transport it. That information did not get transmitted. A lack of knowledge cost Uzzah his life. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea the prophet says, "My people," speaking on behalf of God, "are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Well, here's my question. Why are my children not spiritually minded? That's my question. Ask myself that question. Why are my children not spiritually minded? Or I might ask myself, why do they not understand the importance of coming to worship and being involved with the Lord's church? Could it be that I have failed in giving them that information or helping them find that information or demonstrating that I have a deep devotion to the Word of God and to the worship of God through my example? What's the collateral damage? Because of our sin and our weaknesses. You know, I'm so thankful that David did see the importance of being spiritually minded. He did see the importance of worship. In Psalm 122:1, he said, "I was glad when they said, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.' I was glad." What's the collateral damage that's been created by the things that we've discussed? Think about our example. Think about our relationship with God. And think about how that our example and our behaviors and our life and our obedience will have an impact on the people that are around us. And so this morning, if you're not a Christian, I beg and plead with you to become a Christian. The influence that you will have on people will be so much greater. If you're not living the life that you should live, I hope that you understand that you're not the only one that will be influenced or impacted by that. I want to beg and plead with you, if you're not a Christian or if you're not living your life the way that you should, to make it right with God, and do so now while together we stand.